Hello and welcome to episode 18 of Tabletop Game Talk, a show where we talk about tabletop games of all types. I'm one of your hosts, Josh.
And I'm Chris.
And I'm Kitty.
Today, we'll be talking about deck building games. We've talked about many ones in the past, but this episode is all about them. But first, let's go off topic, starting with some news, announcements, and feedback.
So many things happening today.
Oh, yeah.
So much.
What's the day today? Is it December, what, 18th?
December 18th. Oh. Is there something special about that day?
I think there's something special. God.
This is the day so many people have been waiting for.
At least 30 people.
But wait, what have they been waiting for, Chris?
Apparently a box of games.
That you have put together from your own collection that you're going to give away.
Yes. And it's going to be, we're going to draw the name today, right now, live on the show. Not right now, but live on the show. We're going to tease it out a little bit.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
Yeah, so
They've got to listen to us.
Yeah, sometime between now and the end of the episode. You're just going to have to find out. Who knows? we'll do it actually probably in 20 minutes. We're going to do the very end of Off Topic. Mm. And that'll be the fun. So
does that really take us 20 minutes?
I kind of budget off topic for about 20 minutes. Sometimes it takes 30.
Especially if people have been drinking.
So, all right. So that should be the first announcement. Wow. This is going to be a good episode.
As soon as I said, oh, yeah, people have been drinking. Chris.
I don't have to go to work tomorrow.
And Kitty. I'm just being the sort of Grumple Stiltskin over here.
Yes.
I've not been drinking.
I love that, though. Grumple Stiltskin. That's the best.
So Sydney had some friends over. Some friends that we've known for a really long time. Mm-hmm. And we were playing social deduction games. Straight into the game of today. Not something that Kitty normally likes, but we started out with Insider.
Which I really liked.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, all right. So we mentioned Insider a little bit last week, mm-hmm. but we hadn't played at that point because it was just the three of us.
We needed more people. Yeah. So we recruited
more people.
Sarah, Jen, and Sydney.
Yep. So, and we played six-player Insider. This is a game where it's from Oink Games. I mentioned it last week. It's OINK Games. Google it. Buy it. It's super cheap. They ship it from Japan. I still got it within like 3 or 4 days. And it's 20 questions with a social deduction twist.
But you're not actually limited to 20 questions. No. You're limited to 5 minutes?
You're limited to 5 minutes. Ask as many questions as you want.
And you don't have to like necessarily take turns, go around the circle, nothing like that. It's just throw out your questions and
see what happens.
And we were really bad at doing yes, no, I don't know.
Yeah,
like,
we did a lot of
You're supposed to say yes, no, I don't know. I think I was particularly bad at it.
Sometimes, maybe.
Well,
I don't know.
If it's on a Thursday and I'm not really in the right mood, then yeah. That didn't actually
happen.
Convenience
store is really hard to get people to guess.
It is. So, but we had a really good time with that. Then we graduated. I'm going to say graduated to Secret Hitler because Secret Hitler has a few extra tidbits and rules involved to it.
Which means I paid less attention.
So, secret note.
Fair enough.
Yeah. We were just talking about, and this will come up later in the feedback. I want to do kind of like a behind the scenes side talk episode of what we do to get ready to record, like how we record, those kind of things.
That'd be great.
It'll be like a Disney documentary where you see them animating, except way less cool.
Not even interesting at all, but you know, some people might be interested in it.
It involves more wine than you think it does.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing.
It does this week.
We got a box
of this week.
So because Sydney's friends came over, they came over around 1 o'clock. Well, 2 o'clock. They were late. But we picked up some wine in a box. And that's...
You know, wine in a box isn't what it used to be. No. There's fancy wines in boxes now.
Yeah. Wow. No, this one was good. We spritzed it with LaCroix. So it was like wine spritzers.
Wow.
I'm a much bigger fan of champagne in a can than I am of wine in a box. And I don't know if you've had the tiny cans of champagne.
I have
They're
not.
Fun.
Are they like tall and skinny so they look classy?
They are.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. It's like tab.
So this
but
is
it's champagne.
This is a new level of off topic.
Now you guys know who really gets things off topic.
Yes.
It's me.
So, yes. Now I'll try to spin around. Secret Hitler, really fun. We had a good time.
I didn't like it.
Well,
Kitty doesn't like social deduction.
She does not.
Games, so.
The Insider
also, I was a fascist.
Yes.
I was a really bad fascist. Yeah.
She's like, I'm enacting a fascist policy. Also, I'm a fascist. Ha 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 ha.
I mean, to be fair, it was like six policies into the game.
Yeah, that's fair enough. But it was still a lot of fun for anyone who wasn't Kitty.
Yeah, I had a good time.
I mean, it was fun up until the point where I had a choice of like, oh, I can enact the fourth, socialist.
What is fascist or liberal?
Liberal. That's the good guys.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I could enact the fourth liberal policy or the second fascist. And as a fascist, I was like, four is a lot of liberal policies. And I really didn't think I could. I could have maybe implicated Sydney.
That would have been a lot of work, though. You would have had to keep that up. And yeah,
Sydney was pretty clearly not a fascist also already.
She was pretty passionately not a fascist.
Yeah.
Also, she hadn't had a turn to really do anything until most of the way through the game. She was 6 out of 6 players to go. So she had a lot of time to kind of like deduce things in front of everyone.
Yep.
And I think if you're the fascist, you don't really do that as much. You just kind of sit back and let things happen. Or at least that's how I kind of play.
Yeah, I tend to do that as well.
Yeah, but I thought it was a really good game. We got done, and then we had to kick them out. We actually kicked them up to Kitty's apartment.
Yeah, they're in my apartment without me right now.
Yeah. So Kitty,
they could be trashing the place.
They could be.
Who knows?
Probably.
Wow.
So, yeah, Kitty and Spencer live above me in our building together. So we sent them up there. It's like, we're going to record now. You guys go play games upstairs.
No stomping.
We'll just hear them howling like the dog.
Yeah. At least there's no saws today.
Yeah. Well, before you guys got here, we played Tragedy Looper. I think it took about 2 hours. Tragedy Looper is a time loop game, which is incredibly cerebral.
Well, I tried to ask them how they would categorize that game because they were explaining it to me and they were like, they couldn't do it. And I was like, whoa, this is crazy. Yeah. Like, this is almost like a new type of game.
It is a game. I couldn't classify it for you. Right. I really couldn't.
And if you can't do that, that tells me it's something new. That's amazing.
The best I can say, it's a 1 versus mini game.
Okay.
So you have one person who's the mastermind.
Okay.
And they're controlling kind of the scenario.
Yeah.
But everyone else is kind of working together. There's different variations as to whether or not they're actually talking or not talking.
Okay.
But the whole concept of the game is you're trying to figure out what's wrong in time.
Mm-hmm.
And you go through a number of loops. So in our particular game, it was 5-day loops and we had 4 loops.
Right.
So you play to the 5th day and nope, you failed. Okay, the next loop starts over.
So you haven't, you haven't really like failed the game. We stop. We don't play anymore. You just failed that round.
It sounds kind of social deduction-y based on that small...
It's not really social. Well, you're not trying to figure out rules
at all. There's one person who knows what's wrong in time.
Right.
And everyone else is trying to figure out who knows what's wrong in
time.
Right.
And
that sounds like social deduction.
But it's not social because that person has very strict rules on what they can do. So they'll play 3 cards on different characters or on different areas. And then each of the players, in this case, we had 3. So they get 4 cards if there's 4 players or 2 cards if there's 2 players. But so that each of the players plays 1 of their cards on characters. And then you kind of resolve the cards and see what happens. And then the mastermind will tell you, did you fail or did you succeed? And it's just this kind of trying to puzzle. Like, you have to fail the first few loops to get information. It's
so
intense.
It's like a social deduction plus mastermind the game.
I think it's probably more mastermind. Like, there's really no social deduction because there's no roles. Mm. There's nobody who's hidden.
I thought there was someone who knows what's going on. And you don't know who they are.
Yeah. Think of it more mastermind, though. Mastermind is where everyone, like, I know what the 4 colors are. But you wouldn't consider that a social deduction.
Okay, so I guess I see that so 1 versus many.
Yeah,
right.
You know who
that
person is.
So it's not social. It's just deduction.
Just deduction. Yes. Yep.
You're Sherlock Holmes.
Yes. But everything is very logical. There's no...
I might like that.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit sad I missed out on that today.
Yeah, I want to play
that. I was busy making Christmas cookies.
Well, it's one of Sarah's favorites, so I'm pretty sure we could probably convince her to come by and play it again.
Right now, after we're finished recording, it's only going to be an hour.
We could probably even do it after we finish recording.
They didn't go very far.
No. And then Friday night, Sydney had other friends over from work. Sydney has a lot of friends. I only have you guys. Well, whatever. It's not a competition, right?
I could hear you guys giggling from upstairs, but I was too busy doing a jigsaw puzzle to come down.
Yeah, on Friday night. We ended up playing, let's see, we played Insider a few times. We played Blood Rage. We played Sequence for Kids, which is actually kind of a fun game. Oh. I think I'm going to get the full Sequence game because one of the guys that came over, he like had played Sequence before, and we were playing the like kids version of it. But it still is like one of those cerebral games that kids can get into easily, but it has real decision, real choices. It's not just like a roll and move or a spin and move. It's not a Candyland.
Right.
It was quite interesting. And then this is a theme, I guess. Later in the night, about 1 o'clock in the morning, Paul and I broke up Mechs versus Minions and played a few games of that, but we had been drinking adult beverages for a fair amount of time, so I don't remember how that worked out.
You?
I don't,
never.
I'm just saying. It became an interesting game. But I need to keep playing more Mechs versus Minions. So
I wanna give that a go.
Yeah. It was fun. And I pull it out, I'm like, okay, I gotta play this sober. we do have some feedback, so we're gonna get through the feedback, and then we're going to the Kickstarter new game section. It's gonna be very, very short because it's the holidays. But let's see, Josh. Kitty. Why don't you take the first one?
Ooh, Nate.
Nate.
Nate emailed us. Hi, Table Talk Game Talk. Your podcast was recommended by a friend recently. We have more than two listeners right now.
This is amazing.
I'm so excited.
It's like four listeners. It's phenomenal.
And I'm happy he did, just in time for the holiday giveaway. I mentioned I've been drinking. Sorry, Nate. Haha. Anyway, please enter me into your contest. One question. Are you guys still planning dedicated podcasts on single games or moving towards various game topics like the majority of the podcasts after episode 2? I like both, so I'm torn, but just curious on your thoughts on that. Keep up the great discussions.
So yeah, so this is something we've been talking about, and we're going to have a questions episode come up, so that's actually part of the announcements. We want to do an entire episode on listener questions. So send us your questions. We're going to combine them all, and sometime in January, we're going to do an episode just on questions, which kind of segues into this, and I didn't want to save this until that episode. Mm-hmm. Our format, if you're listening, you kind of see every episode's a little bit different. Sometimes we focus on a specific game. Sometimes it's a game topic where we may not talk about games at all. I think our game groups and player types is a good example of that. Like, we barely talked about any games. Mm-hmm. Other times, you know, we'll talk. I think our standard subjects, and I use that in air quotes, is like today we're talking about deck building games, where we'll talk about, you know, 2 to 4 different games in that genre. So we're trying to mix it up a little bit, but I am curious to hear from the listeners, what are your favorites? What do you like to hear? What are like less interesting to you?
The more feedback we get, the more you'll like what you hear in the future.
Exactly.
Because it'll be more what you tell us you like.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So, and that is actually why we have an off-topic and on-topic. So off-topic, you know, I kind of kid around the Kickstarters games I own. That's really an excuse for us, or me, to talk about different games that are new in the industry, just to kind of give everyone a broader
idea. Really like that, to hear what the new things are coming out, and that's why they're listening to a board game podcast.
Whereas some people really like the in-depth exploration of a topic or one game, which is why we have an on-topic segment.
Exactly. So that's why we have our on-topic, off-topic. But if you have suggestions as to what you'd like to hear in on-topic or off-topic, we're still, you know, working this out ourselves as well.
We are super into feedback right now. Anything we hear back, we're really excited about it. So, you know, you have a really big influence on what we talk about right now.
Yep. And pretty much anything you send us, whether it be via Twitter or email, or if you post on the Facebook group or whatever, we're going to read it on the air because we want this to be a community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's not just a community on Facebook or email. So explicitly tell me if you don't want it read on the air, but...
Yeah.
Unlike some podcasts, you don't have to pay to get read on the air.
No.
We will read you for free.
Yep. You send
it's
us...
exciting, fun stuff for us still.
Yeah, we love
until
hearing
we
from
get
you.
Way too big for you guys. You will hear us
talk
about how excited we are.
You're going to be so important. We don't even need your email anymore.
No, that's our plan, is to get too big for you.
Yeah.
So, just kidding.
Yeah, we just want to be really, really important.
Just pointing out I'm 3 glasses of wine in tonight. Sorry, guys.
By the end, it'll be 4. So it's only getting better from here. All right. Josh, however, has not drank at all. He's looking
poor
at us.
Josh has to go to work tomorrow.
I know.
This poor guy.
God. I mean, Chris kind of does, but not really.
Yeah. No, I have to go to the suburbs tomorrow.
I barely get any sleep when I drink alcohol. So I'm just like, you know what? Maybe not.
So Josh is keeping us honest. And the glare he's giving at us, he's like,
no, not at all. I love it.
Well, I'm glad you love it,
Josh. It's sparkle, you know? It's pizzazz. It's like, spice to the podcast.
Yeah. He's like, I really want to read Darian's comment, though.
I do, and I will. Darian Pang commented on our last episode on phone and tablet games. Hi, guys. I tend to say they're expensive, the phone and tablet games, but not from the stance of the games themselves. More the fact that I'll have to teach people how to play the beloved games on a screen. Sorry, mum and dad, but, you know, love teaching you to play, but, you know, regular Catan just took too long, let alone the phone version. And the fact that I'll probably never play it again with them because they find it too complicated. Well, with physical games, I can reuse, and each time it shows its value and is also resellable. I can't resell the app, and for its one use, it's not worth the, you know...
The cost. Yeah. I may have cut off the actual the cost part.
The copy on here has just run out. But yeah.
Did we find a game on our phones that cost more than $20? Curious.
I don't think I found any game that's more than $20, except for in-app purchase types of things.
Well, yeah. If you're playing a game where you get sucked into buying something for $2 every week for 4 weeks or whatever. Yeah.
Well, in a couple games, like the Pathfinder Adventure Card game I mentioned, mm-hmm. that one you can spend $25 to unlock the campaign.
Unlock all the things or something like that, yeah.
Because something like Catan was only like $7 or something.
Yeah, the base game was usually, just the basic game was usually under $10.
But I do agree that if you buy a physical copy of something, if you try to teach somebody how to play it, they don't like it. At least you have a physical copy you can take someplace else.
Right.
Where if you put it on their iPad or something and they don't like it, it's like, all right, well, they're going to never open that app again. That $7 is completely lost. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was worth spending $50 on the full version game.
Right.
Which is why I think a lot of our points of the phone and tablet game episode was they're more for single player replayability. Yep. Mm-hmm. I want to figure out the strategy on my own.
Yep.
Or it's more of the I'm going to get a bunch of people who already know how to play the game together, and we're just going to pass and play in a situation mm-hmm. where we couldn't get out all the pieces of the regular game.
I've played very few phone and tablet games where we actually played multiplayer. Splendor is probably the only exception. Like Sydney and I, if we're sitting on an airplane or, you know, traveling mm-hmm. or something, we'll pull that out.
I'd say at most two players can play a game, and it's usually like me and Spencer will play checkers or hangman or something like that. Mm. Or even like a...
like Mancala or something.
Yeah, Mancala. Yeah. One of the games we mentioned in the last episode. Yep. You should listen to it. Yeah. They're all so good.
Yeah. I still want to support them, and I like them because I can play them myself, mm-hmm. but that's mostly why I get them, is
that's
so I can
mostly
play them myself.
Playing against the robots, it really helps me build a strategy. I think that, not to, you know, give myself a lot of credit, but a lot of our success in Pandemic Legacy came from all of us really
playing it
on
solo.
Our tablets solo and trying to figure out like which characters do we need and what strategies work.
Yep.
Do we need to cure the disease first? Do we need to find the cures first? Which one gets us where we need to be? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a quick way to learn a game. And honestly, if say a game costs $10, if I play that game 5 times and each game is a half hour to an hour, it's still a better value than going to a movie in a lot of cases.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's a good way to...
I just paid $15 to see Rogue One.
Yeah. Oh, I saw Rogue One as well, Josh.
It was so good.
Wait, what film is it?
Rogue One. Oh, my God.
Oh, no. Rogue One.
Get out of this apartment.
I thought you said Rogue One. And I was like, what the hell is Rogue One? Rogue One. I know what Rogue One is. I haven't seen it yet. Yeah. But
we're not going to spoil it. Don't worry. Nobody has to turn off the recording.
But you should go see it.
But you should see it. It's amazing.
Better than... You think it's better than the...
Better than Force Awakens, yes.
Force Awakens, yeah.
Better than Force Awakens. My personal favorite is A New Hope. I know a lot of people's favorite is The Empire Strikes Back. My brother, who is a big fan of The Empire Strikes Back, which I feel like is a big fan favorite, best of the Star Wars films, my brother said it is his new favorite.
Wow. Yeah.
So that's like that's a big endorsement. Yeah.
If you are in any way a Star Wars, just you know what Star Wars is,
yeah,
you should go see this.
You should
movie.
Go see it. It's so good.
Okay. Yeah.
I really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah. All right. To move things along a little bit.
Oh, man. We need to keep moving.
I know. New iTunes reviews. Thank you guys so much for leaving us iTunes
reviews. It means so much to us.
Wow. I didn't even see those. That's so cool.
It's one of the greatest things. Like, when we see reviews,
yeah,
it's because it's so hard. We mentioned week how it's so hard.
It's like 18 steps.
18. Well, Seven to 18 steps.
I said like.
Yeah.
Hyperbole.
I want to encourage other people to go through these steps. Yeah. So it's not 18. We promise.
I do have a slight shortcut. You can go to tabletopgametalk.com/review and then click on view in iTunes, search for Tabletop Game Talk, click on the review tab, then click write a review. But for those people who did, I'm always going to give you guys a call out. McGinnis, he left us a review. He says, we're very polished and well put together.
Yay. Yeah, Thank you so much. We're less polished tonight, sorry.
Less polished, but, you know, it's weird.
Josh is always polished,
yes,
though.
Yes.
He's like a marble over there.
He keeps
what?
He's like a marble over there. That is exactly what I just
Josh. Killed Chris.
Marble statue. All right, trying to continue. Tokyo Crush. Easygoing and friendly. Best of the basement core. I don't know if that's a good or bad thing, but
it's totally a good thing.
As long as we're the best of, I'm happy with it. I'm paraphrasing these, by the way. Blue Dude 102. Referred to us by Andy Looney via Twitter. Thank you, Andy Looney. I don't know if he still listens. Yay. I know he listened to our episode 13 on Pyramid Arcade because, he made Pyramid Arcade. He actually mentioned this on his podcast. But if you're still listening, thank you. And thank you for referring other people to us. That means a lot to us. It really does. I think Blue Dude's best comment was he doesn't think we're arrogant. So
that's nice.
Hey, that's a huge compliment for board game nerds.
I know, right? So I like that one. Three Red Shells thinks we have a good group dynamic with a good range of personalities. Also likes our Pandemic Legacy updates, which we will actually be giving more updates. So the last few weeks, getting the four of us in the same place at one time has been tricky.
It's Spencer's fault. He's ice fishing this weekend. Yeah.
So we're not giving up on this. In fact, we may have to have a marathon Pandemic Legacy, maybe New Year's, like somewhere like the Friday before New Year's Eve or something.
Good.
Spencer decided he's working from home every day but Wednesday for the next 3 weeks. So let us know.
So yeah, so we'll be doing that. So Josh, it's up to you and your real job.
Yeah, I know. Jeez.
But our goal is to get another update by the New Year's episode.
We're on April?
We are on April, January, February, March, April. Yes.
Something like that.
I
think we're on April.
Yep. So,
which is pretty far.
Yeah. And we're pretty good. So we might be able to just blow through the last of these.
Oh, yeah. We're just going to kill it.
Guys,
we're not. Yeah. We're going to die any minute now.
We've won a few in a row and our funding has gone down.
I was going to say our funding is zero. Yeah. Exactly. Our funding is zero for the second time in a row. It's going to be
we're
gonna bad.
We're going to lose this next time.
So we'll see how that works out for us. But yes, so thank you all for your reviews. It means a lot to us. I know we're having a contest and it gives you extra entries and stuff, but part of having the contest is to make us feel like you guys are, you know, engaged.
It's working.
It is working. Speaking of contests, we're going to get there in just a moment. I just want to talk about one tiny game, Crysis. Crysis is a Kickstarter game. It just came to me this week. It's a corporation game. The city is going into economic turmoil and you're an investor trying to save the correct corporations to bring the economy back. And it looks really, really fun. Kitty is yawning right now. I'm not sure if it's because it's late or because she doesn't want to deal with economic corporate
it might have to do with the 3 to 5 glasses of wine. Sorry, guys.
Either way, we'll give you more information on Crysis. But it really does look like a great game. I've played through the solo, a little bit of a solo version of it. I try to do that before I teach you guys, so I know what the turn steps are. But that's it. 24 minutes, 15 seconds in. We are now
not
going.
Not even half an hour. Woohoo.
Wow. Well, yeah, but we're going to choose our winner.
We get a pull this contest winner?
Yeah. So
I wish we had a physical had, but you're digital.
I was going to roll dice because up until today, there were less than 100 entries. So I was going to roll percentile dice, and that would be how we picked it. And so, but today we got like this flood of entries.
It's almost like it was the last day of our contest. Yeah.
So I got over 40 new entries in. Wow. Now, keep in mind, an entry is a share, a tweet, a review, or whatever the case. And just because we're excited about this, but 132 entries with 33 unique enterers.
So 33 people whose all their entries have totaled up to 140.
Right. Right. So we're going to do this right now. The way this is, it's in a Google spreadsheet.
I can't believe this is happening.
I know. It's in a Google spreadsheet. There's a random number generator in the spreadsheet.
Yeah.
And it picks between 0 and 132. It then calculates based on that and based on the number of entries who the winner is, and that it's going to bounce around. So I'm going to actually, in order to make the random number generator work, I have to type a number in. So I'm going to actually type five numbers. We're going to go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And the last person whose winner line comes up, and I'm not going to say the other ones because that would be just be mean.
It would be so cruel.
Will be the person who wins the Box O' Games. And I will email you immediately after this episode to let you know, get your address, get all the different details. So if you're listening now, you already know. And if you don't already know, sorry.
Sorry.
All right. Yep. But we are going to do this more often. I will tell you, some of these games, many of these games will be games that are already opened.
I've played. Chris has way too many games.
Yeah. My goal is to reduce the number of games I have. So
Hang on. Can I just quickly, before we do this, question that method? Because essentially you're about to take away the suspense of this moment. Because if you say that they've already know, unless they, and then.
So you're saying I shouldn't tell them
until Tuesday evening or something. And you know, hopefully so they'll listen in.
I agree.
Kind of want to get their consent.
Yeah. So, well, and it's not necessarily consent. I figure, again, warning, if you send us anything, that is permission for us to use it on the podcast. But I did say that we would try to get it to them by Christmas.
Oh, I see.
Oh,
and
yeah,
in
yeah,
order
yeah.
for me to do that, I need to be able to send it out as soon as possible.
That's true.
All right. Okay.
So, cool. That's all.
That's fine.
Also, we threw out the disclaimer now. If you send us anything, it is arable.
It is arable.
From now on, well, my parents are both lawyers. Yes. I feel like I need to say that out loud.
That's retroactive to all episodes. That might not be legal, but it still happens.
Close enough.
All right. So 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And the winner is... Clay Howard.
Clay Howard. I saw him like a whole lot of our stuff on Facebook the other day. Way to go, Clay. Thank you so much for all the sharing and hard work you did to win this box of games.
Congratulations. Like I said, I will be emailing you, well, in the past from when you're listening to this now, but the present for when you get the email. Podcast time is really
weird. Time Looper is a good game for us to play.
Yeah, it really is. But congratulations, Clay. Thank you. You left us, you sent us an email, obviously. You've liked us. You've shared us. You've reviewed us.
Wow, you reviewed us on iTunes?
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. He totally deserves a lot of work.
He deserves this win. Yeah.
So congratulations.
Although I'm sure there were a lot of people who did a lot of work. Oh, and you'll just have to keep listening and keep entering our new contest.
I think there'll be other giveaways because Chris has tons of stuff.
We're going to do this on a relatively regular basis because, I want people to write us anytime with feedback, questions, and all of that. Mm. But B, I think it's great to kind of engage. We want to give back to you.
Yeah.
You giving, you know, just kind of giving your feedback to us. That kind of keeps us going. It's it's fun to do this,
definitely.
You know, knowing that people are listening.
Yeah.
So, all right. Now, let's see here.
Back
I think we
to
can
our
move,
show notes.
Yeah, we might be actually able to move to... On topic.
Let's do it.
Oh, wait, hold on a second. I got to press this button.
He's getting his sound ready.
The segues, they're important. Josh.
I know they are. I'm just explaining what's happening.
It's even more important when we tell you they're going to happen.
Yes. Yeah. I know. Actually. And now we're talking. No. All right. And the beautiful segue music.
In this episode, we're talking about deck building games. What do we like about them? What are some of our favorites? And what are their downsides? Let's find out.
All right. So I think deck building games, we've been talking about them a lot. They're a lot of the games of today.
Yes.
Yeah.
We refer to them all the time. And it surprised me when we were looking at show topics that we had not actually done an entire episode on them.
To be fair, you guys, before the best member of the podcast got here, did a whole episode about a single deck building game.
Yes. We talked about...
so if you listen to one of those lost four episodes.
Actually, only three. You were in episode four.
I was in episode four. Yep. I don't know how to count. I went to college.
Yeah, it's fine.
Well, we started from episode zero, so yes. I'm going to give you that one, Kitty.
That is true. We should re-record episode zero and add Kitty in there.
We should.
like it never happened. Like she was always there.
Yeah.
You know, I plan on being in episode four when, you know. Anyway, I wanted to find deck building games because... when you're talking about a subject or a topic of games, it's like, what is a deck building game? So I wrote some bullet points down, and I don't know that the order is exactly right. So I'm going to paraphrase a little bit here. A deck building game involves you having your own personal deck of cards, and over the duration of the game, that deck of cards will change. Now, typically, you start with a starter deck of 10 to 12 cards. Normally the cards will have some kind of resource on them that allow you to buy other cards. Sometimes
usually
more
kind
than one.
Money.
Yep.
Equivalent.
Money. Sometimes there's attacks. Sometimes there's mana. Whatever the case is.
Yeah.
There's always something there. I think Star Realms uses scrap. It all comes down to use this resource to buy more cards.
I was going to say, it always gets you more cards.
Yep. When you're out of cards from your draw deck, you're going to shuffle your discard pile. And that becomes your new draw deck, which is important because normally when you buy new cards, they go into your discard pile. And then you're going to, at the end of your turn, you either have to discard all of your cards or you've already played all of your cards. So you draw a new hand at the end of every turn. This is a very common mechanic. It was created first seen in Dominion, which, by the way, has a second edition out now. I don't think either of you guys have ever played Dominion.
No.
Nope.
But you've played enough other deck building games where...
Yeah. Several.
Yeah. But I may actually pick up the second edition of Dominion. There's not a lot of changes in it. There's a few new cards, a few new wordings. And you can actually buy like an update pack that takes your old version of Dominion and updates it to the second edition version.
Right.
But it's a good starter if you've ever not played Dominion. And so I want to talk about a number of different deck building games. Now, we've played a lot, and I'm wondering, what are your guys' some of your favorites in this genre?
Oh, that's a good one. I really liked the one that incorporates area and control. It's quite a new game, I believe.
Tyrants of the Underdark.
Tyrants of the Underdark. I really like that one. Having that hybrid and having the area control in it really gave it a different edge. Yeah, it just had me on a different level, and the gameplay was so much fun. When you look at the board, it's not like the most dazzling board. Yeah. Yeah, it's not like crazy cool miniatures, but the actual game itself was so fun to play.
Yep. So Tyrants of the Underdark is a game by Wizards of the Coast. It's based on the Dungeons & Dragons licensing. And the whole concept is it's kind of a hybrid game, where there's a deck builder in it, but there's also an area control element to it. Now, you are right. I actually didn't buy this game for quite some time just because when I looked at it, I'm like, it's kind of purple and dark colors. Yeah. Your little pieces they're like kind of plastic pieces that look like they're easy to grip, but not all that entertaining to look at.
Yeah.
But when you start playing the game, you have your deck building resource, which is to buy new cards, and then... the other parts of the cards are you can put a piece here, you can move a piece there, and you can actually manipulate the board.
You can take the opponent's pieces.
Yes.
And there is a lot of interaction like that where you're kind of screwing the other person over too a bit.
Yep.
And so it has that competitive element as well, which I really liked.
So, and that kind of leads to a deck building type where, you know, when you look at Dominion, it's just pure deck building. Like it's just the cards. And nowadays you start looking at games and they're becoming much more, you know, other things are involved in them, you know, such as the area control element. We'll talk about another one in a moment called Clank. But I'm curious, Kitty, do you have any deck building games that are like really stand out to you? I know we played like the Harry Potter game.
I was going to say the Battle for Hogwarts was a really fun one. What was the one that was, I was actually looking for this on our past episodes just now of our game of today, where we were each a classic kind of D&D role.
Yep. So that one is Hero Realms.
Hero Realms. Yep. That's what I thought.
Yeah, we played that. Was it last week or the week before,
I think? It was 2 weeks ago, yep. Maybe.
Yep. Hero Realms and Star Realms are both kind of, they're the same company, and there's another one in there, I want to say Cthulhu Realms. And then there's another one called Epic Card Game, all written by all done by the same company, all deck building games as well.
So I'd say my two favorites are Battle for Hogwarts and Hero Realms, and I feel like they both had very different feels.
Yep.
Because in Hero Realms, you were playing against the other players. And in Battle for Hogwarts, it was a cooperative where you were building your decks to beat the board.
Right.
And they had very different feels, but they were both very fun.
Yeah. And I think that's an interesting thing to point out is deck building is a mechanic that can be put on top of all kinds of different things.
Yeah.
When you're looking at, like, Battle at Hogwarts, this is a co-op mechanic or co-op game.
Uh-huh.
The deck building mechanic's still there. You have, they don't call it money, but it's, I think it's like influence.
They look like gold coins.
They look like coins, but it's not money. Don't call it money. but you also have...
It's not Knut's Sickles or Galleons.
Yes, exactly.
But not that I'm a huge Harry Potter nerd, but I am. About that.
I proposed to Sydney at Harry Potter World, so I... Yes. But anyway. and they also have attack power. So you have your two resources. Your attack power gets you further in the game, and your money...
I thought it was three. You had hearts...
Oh, that's
your health.
Yep.
You have your health, you have your money to buy new cards, and you have your attack power to attack the villain.
Yep.
I played this one too, and I really liked it. And I felt like it's part of the reason why was because it was very easy to understand. And even the cards that you get, they don't have a ton of different stuff on there. It's very succinct, very easy.
It's really, there are the three mechanics. Yeah. It is, you can build your health.
Yep.
You can build your attack to attack the board.
Yeah.
Or you can buy new cards. And those are really your only three choices.
Yep. And that's kind of what's the beauty of deck building games in general. Mm-hmm. It's pretty streamlined. Like,
I'm not sure that's
true. Yeah. Well, see, this is why I liked Harry Potter, right? Because my one gripe about maybe deck building games is that being the analysis paralysis player, which I am.
Not that we've cornered you.
Not that you've made fun of me all the time for it.
No.
That kind of player who wants to analyze every different move, like you have so many cards to read and they all do different things and you all have to read them all, understand how they fit into the game and understand the implications. Yeah. Oh my goodness. If one is more simple and straightforward, like Harry Potter is, hell yeah. That's my kind of deck. Yeah.
Actually, our show notes vary in quality from quality. That's an actual word if you say it correctly. From time to time, I actually have a section here on downsides, and that's not something I put in there. I forgot that really there are many games where there's so many different cards. Like every card's different.
Terraforming Mars. We talked about a couple episodes ago.
Not a deck building game, but a.
It has a very strong deck-building component
You have to buy cards.
You have to buy cards, put them into your deck, and draw them, which I feel like is a deck-building game.
Still not a deck-building game. But go ahead.
But it does have a very strong deck-building mechanic to it. Has a lot of different kinds of cards you can... It is a drafting game, I guess.
Yeah.
But you still are building your deck, whether or not you buy them or draft them.
Yeah.
It is a slightly different mechanic.
Yeah.
Well, but still.
And so, actually, I'm going to make a clarification, because you're not wrong.
I am not wrong.
You're not wrong, except for the part where you're calling it a deck-building game. But otherwise, I like the look.
It's a hand-building game.
So, because there is no actual deck in Terraforming Mars, you're not drawing cards and discarding cards. But you are building your hand.
Yeah.
And when you it's the same concept where you have all of these different cards to pick from.
But I feel like you were bringing that up for the complexity reason, right?
Yeah. The other end of the spectrum. Because with Harry Potter, there are three kinds of cards. Mm. And you don't get a lot of combos. You get hearts, you get coins, or you get... attack.
Right.
There are very few combos where you get like two hearts and one coin.
Yep.
Whereas with Terraforming Mars, almost every card is you spend something to get something and you are sacrificing one thing for another. Yep. There's a lot of complexity there.
Yeah.
And there's other, so there's other games, like, well, Star Realms and is
Hero
a good
Realms
one. And Ascension.
Also.
Yep. And Hero Realms. All almost, so you have a stack of maybe 200 cards.
Right.
And every single card is a little different.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So when you're like looking at your 6 to 8 cards, depending on what you can purchase, you have to read every single card. What does this do? What does this not? Like, should I have it in my deck? Should I not?
Yeah.
And that can slow down initial plays of deck building games.
You really have to be focusing, even when it's not your turn, on what cards are being pulled up. And I feel like this was a problem that Josh had sometimes was you would buy 2 cards at one time.
Yeah, I forgot.
And forget that you can buy 1 card and then see what the next card is, read what it is, see what its powers are before you decide if you want to buy the card you were thinking of the existing cards or if see if something better comes up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there's really kind of 2 types of deck building games. And really, to be completely honest, there's 1 type these days. Dominion has all of the cards that you can buy in front of you. And they're never going to see any different cards while you play the game.
Mm-hmm.
So at the setup, you're going to see 10 different cards. Mm-hmm. And that's it. You have a, and they're a pile. I believe it's 10 piles of 10 cards. It might be 10 piles of 8 cards. But whatever the case, that's all you're ever going to do. So you can kind of build your strategy around what cards you want.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, the end game for these is when you're out of a certain number of piles, then the game ends.
Mm-hmm.
There's another game that followed... called Thunderstone that does a similar thing. It's a little bit more themed, but also you're putting everything out. You have weapons, you have village cards, you have monsters that you're attacking, but you see everything on the board all
at once. What you're saying is everything that's in the piles that aren't out yet are the same cards as the ones that you're already looking at. They're the same types of cards. You're never going to see a new type of card.
Well, you're never going to see a new card.
Oh,
they're
I see.
They're all the exact same cards.
Yes, that's what I mean. That's what I mean. Yeah. It's the exact same card. Yeah.
But now what happened is when Dominion, when you try to set that up, you have to randomly choose the cards, and there's apps for that and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You have to clean things up. You have to put cards all in their own piles. You have to have separators so you can find the cards in the box. There's a lot of setup and cleanup involved in that. So Ascension was the next card game that came out and said, you know something, we really like this idea of a deck building game.
Mm-hmm.
But here, this is easier. Just put a huge deck right here in front of you and draw 6 cards and lay them out on the table.
Mm.
And on your turn, you can buy any of those cards.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can replace them when you buy them. So you can buy something else.
Right.
It is a completely different type of feel because you're not really planning your strategy long term. You're saying, what's the best thing I can buy right now?
Yeah.
But it does make it set up and clean up so much easier.
Right.
So...
I just remembered another deck building game we played.
Watch.
The Star Trek one. And actually, we have played a couple deck building games since then, and I've watched the like first 3 or 4 seasons of Star Trek The Next Generation since then, and I want to play it again. Because that was fun.
That was a good game.
Yeah.
That was. We even got Gloria to get into it because she likes Star Trek so much.
She enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, the Star Trek deck building game, that was a good one. I actually forgot about that. Mm. I look
You're
over
welcome.
And, yep. I look over at my games like, all right, so this is a deck building, this one's a, and that one.
We have a lot of deck building games around here.
Well, I wrote down a few of them. So Dominion, Ascension, Harry Potter, we've talked about that. Legendary Encounters, I believe that was episode number 3.
Right, but then that's the good point because you just said, oh, but since Dominion, setup and cleanups got a lot easier, but Legendary Encounters was like really tough for setting up and stuff.
Yes.
Also, Legendary Encounters, you make it sound like it's just one game, but aren't there several different versions? You guys were playing Firefly Legendary Encounters, but so, there are...
Well, there's a lot. So Legendary is a game system that came out, which is a deck-building game that is competitive, but with a common goal that everyone must succeed at before anybody can win.
Mm.
It came out Marvel. So the original was Marvel Legendary.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was that competitive version. Now, later on, they came out with Encounters versions. And the Encounters versions are full co-ops.
Mm-hmm.
So when Legendary Encounters Firefly is a full co-op Firefly deck building game. Legendary Encounters or Marvel Legendary Encounters is its own thing. But they have like Big City and Little China. They have Predator versus Aliens.
Oh, wow. I'd play that one.
There's lots of licenses for Legendary. And the system is actually kind of cool. But you're right. The setup for that was insane because you had to divide all these cards and put them all in their own places. And once you've done that and you've played the game once or twice, it kind of like they give you the dividers so you can set it up a little quicker.
Right.
But also, what I recall though is that it has a solo play.
Yes.
Ability.
Yep. So with the encounters ones, like most co-ops, there are solo variants.
Uh huh.
And I was actually playing Legendary Encounters solo a few times.
How did you find that?
It is different.
Yeah.
But still fun. And I actually would say it's more fun for Legendary Encounters.
Okay.
Do they have an iPad or tablet version?
They don't. No? I wish they did because I would play that.
Because that sounds like a really good adaptable
yeah.
one.
Yeah. Mm.
If you're listening.
The execs.
Yeah. When we get to my last bullet point, we'll talk about that. But all right. There's one that I really like. But Legendary Encounters, the solo version allows you to build your deck a little bit more. Mm. My biggest complaint with it is if you're playing a four-player game, you normally have maybe 20 turns before you're done and you have to have completed your missions, which means that if you're buying cards, like one card a turn, the best you can do is put like five or six cards in your deck.
Oh, right.
So it doesn't really change that much.
Right.
But when you're playing it solo, when you're doing all 20 or 30 turns yourself, you can really get that
you
deck to be.
You can build your deck that much. Yeah.
It makes it far more interesting. Mm. We talked about Tyrants.
I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's why I kind of like that playing it
solo because the fun part of a deck building game is really like, especially if you save up and you get to buy that one really cool card, like you save your coins. Because really, all of them, call it what you will.
They're all money.
It's money.
Yeah.
You get your eight monies and you buy, because really you're getting like 1 to 5 monies per card most of the time.
Yeah.
Like five is a really good card if you're getting 5 money for it. So you buy like a 15, I think is the highest I've ever seen in any deck building game ever.
Ever.
Most of them are like between like 1 coin and 7 or 8.
Yeah.
When you get those really good cards, you're like, this is going to change the game.
Yep.
Like those, you pull that one card out. I remember I had like some kind of troll, I think,
in Hero Realms.
Yeah. And I pulled that out and I was like, and now I win.
I had that in that Star Trek game. There was a catch up card and it was like, oh, I am totally going to win this game.
I think yours was a Q card.
Yeah, it was Q.
Yeah.
Once Q comes out in that Star Trek.
Josh always messes up Star Trek.
You just used the term catch up card.
Oh yeah,
we're so proud of you, and
it's not ketchup as in put on French fries. It's a mechanic used in the game to make the people that are in the last place jump in front of everyone else and win, even though they don't deserve it.
Well, I'm assuming a good catch-up card wouldn't do what that Star Trek one does and obliterate all the other players instantly.
Yeah.
I do think though it was the way you used it.
Yeah, no,
you could have messed that up.
That's true.
You had a chance to really like be like, I'm playing this card. And didn't use it right.
Yeah, I managed to get
your moment.
Yeah, I managed to get the best like ship, and I think you had to
do
something correctly.
There were a lot of things. I totally earned
that win.
Yeah, there were a lot of things going well.
I'll give it to you.
Yeah,
it's been a few weeks. I'm not bitter about it.
We need to have an episode on trash talk because I was actually talking to Sydney just the other day, talking about like people who trash talk in games versus don't. Different people play games in different ways.
Oh, that could be part of the cheating episode as well. I feel like
I think we should, or at least I
didn't even have that on my list, but it's a great
I think it's part of a bigger conversation about rules in general. Trash talk could be thrown in as well.
We could make fun of Munchkin.
The Munchkin episode where we don't actually talk about Munchkin, just all the things that make Munchkin a horrible.
I still haven't played it, so we're gonna have to play
it's not horrible if you're playing it with people that love to screw other players over.
Right.
Like if you like that kind of trash talking
thing. We should never play this with Kitty. Ever.
It's my least favorite mechanic.
Yeah.
She will never talk to us again.
Never, ever. So Kitty will never be able to love to play
this. I'm going to go earmuffs for that episode.
Yeah.
Spencer will take my place or something. I don't know.
He might actually have fun with it, actually.
He would love it.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's see. Other games I have on here says Star Realms and Hero Realms. Those are basically the same game, but one of the things that's most. There are different themes in Star Realms. Actually, Star Realms does have an iPad version, so if you want to play that, you can. One of the cool things about this game, many deck building games are kind of your own solo engine. You're building your deck and you're trying to get optimizing it. Tyrants of the Underdark starts interaction because you have a board and stuff. Hero Realms and Star Realms, you're directly attacking the other player. And that makes this kind of a very PvP, 1v1 deck building game.
How many players are those games for?
For Star Realms and Hero Realms, it's typically two, but there are but for Hero Realms, there's four player versions, but each one of them kind of have variants. Like you can only attack to the left, or you're doing team play or something like that.
We played a 3-player Hero Realms.
Yep.
I actually thought a 4-player game would be more like the most fun because you could really kind of attack the whole table.
Yep.
If it was just one versus one, I'm not sure I would enjoy it as much.
It's a different kind of game. It's more like a Magic the Gathering type of card 1v1 or a Dice Masters 1v1.
I was going to say, I played a lot of Dice Masters with you, and I got very frustrated because what would happen was you gave me all my dice, and then I would go to work, and then I came home, and you'd be like, I spent 3 hours strategizing on this new way to win against you, and I want to try it out. And I just lost every time.
So, but here's that's no fun.
And that's not a deck building game necessarily. No. That's a dice pool building, which is very, very similar.
Well, but if you take it, so with when you look at something like Dice Masters or Magic the Gathering or any collectible card game where you're building a deck outside of the game, you can do that. You can say, I built this huge, major thing. The big difference with deck building games, or even dice building games, is there's not a lot of them. Quarriors is the most popular of them, where you all start with essentially a starter set of something. You start from the same place, and as you play the game, you build your deck. Then it's an in-game activity versus something I can spend, you know, 3 hours while you're at work
and building a deck. And a lot of money.
Yeah, and a lot of money.
Because a lot of Magic, especially Pokemon, I feel like is not as often played, but it has the same mechanic. Really, any of those where like there are rare cards or dice, and there are common ones.
Yep.
You can do as much as you want with the common cards, but if somebody you're playing against has those like super fancy rare cards, they're probably going to beat you.
Yeah, so but that's a good point.
Unless you get real, real lucky and they don't come up in the game.
So, and that's one of the cool things about deck building games is the game is building the deck. It's not the meta game. Mm-hmm. Magic, it's the meta game building the deck. And then you play the game with the deck you built.
And Magic has done a lot to kind of mitigate the you can pay $300 to get this one super fancy card. And they've
done kind of both.
Really like they NPR, you should listen to the Planet Money on the Black Lotus.
Yeah.
It's a really good
episode. I have not heard that one.
Really?
I need
it's
to look
a
at that
really one. Good episode of Planet Money. Not that I'm like totally endorsing Planet Money, but it's one of my favorite podcasts.
So for those who don't know, Magic the Gathering, Black Lotus is a card that, I don't know, somewhere
30,000 or something.
It's crazy valuable.
It's a really good economics and gaming podcast. If economics and gaming are interests of yours, the crossover is the Black Lotus of the Planet Money.
Okay, but you say that, I know this is going a bit off topic, but you say that Magic did mitigation against the whole, oh, I can just spend a load of money on a card. But I feel like that's still totally the whole game,
so
right? Like, people can just pay thousands for cards right now, and they're crazy rare.
It depends.
If you're playing by their rules, you have to play the current
The last two years of cards.
Right.
And they have less of these super, super rare, super powerful cards.
Yeah.
Right. They, like, the newer decks basically have kind of eliminated that mechanic.
Yeah.
Is that, like, the first few years, it was more of a fad. It was, like, kind of the pogs of cards.
Yeah. Only they never went away.
And the way they stuck around, they talk about this a lot in the Planet Money podcast, is the way they stuck around is they took out those super, super rare cards and made it so that if you buy just a few packages of the newest build, that you will be competitive.
Yeah. Mm.
That there are enough of the kind of rare cards that you're still competitive, but there's none of the, like, if you're super lucky or super rich, that you're just going to win.
Yeah. Okay.
So there's a couple formats, and I know this really isn't a collectible card game format, but to Katie's point, there are multiple tournament formats of Magic now.
Yeah.
And the one she's talking about is you can only use cards from the last 2 years.
And it is the official sanctioned
version. Yes, it is the sanctioned version.
Right.
Now, they do have there's a lot of different versions, and there's, I don't remember exactly what they call it. I think it might be the legacy format where you can use any card from any.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where these cards are super, that's where you could actually use your Black Lotus.
Right.
And if you're interested in that, really go listen to this podcast because I'm not doing it justice.
Yeah. And in fact, we have a friend, Josh, I'm not sure if you met him, but our friend Rob and Jessica, they are huge into Magic. We might have to do an entire episode of Magic together.
I think we need Rob to come and bring them be on. A guest star.
Yep.
Maybe my cousin Josh, if I can get him to come visit from Ann Arbor, that would be great because I feel like we should get Rob and Josh in the same room sometime.
So we haven't not actually gone that far off topic. Deck building games and collectible build-a-deck games are pretty close.
Because when Chris first asked me, have I ever played a deck building game, I answered wrong because I had played a collectible deck game.
Yeah.
And it is not the same.
So Pokemon and Magic aren't really what we're talking about here.
But I had played Dice Masters, which has nothing to do with cards, but you do kind of build your deck.
That one, you're building your deck before and during.
I was going to say, it's during because you have to. You have your dice on your cards that you have to buy into your bag.
Cards ahead of time.
So it's a combo.
It's kind of.
I don't know if you've played Dice Masters. If you want to,
I haven't.
Chris has like an entire full set of both the D&D version and the superhero version.
I have all of the first seven released sets.
Ooh.
I stopped collecting after they got a little bit more complicated to get a hold of and they released them really too fast. But
okay.
And I have all of his leftovers. Cool. So if you want to play, you can have my dice.
Sweet.
So real quick, back to deck building
games.
Well,
I just want to... I had a question to ask on this because I don't think we've actually touched on how to like be really good at winning at deck building games.
You can't.
I don't believe that. Because there's a lot. Often there seem to be sections. Like, I'm starting to learn about deck building games. I haven't played tons, but I've played enough. And it seems like, you know, at the beginning, you want to, like, build your economy. Okay, so you're going to have to buy cards throughout the game. So you're going to have to get cards that give you more money as you go along. Mm-hmm. You know, and so that's that's your early phase. Okay, I need to, like, build up as many economic cards as I can early on. There must be other, pieces of strategy you can give me.
Yeah, so I would say in deck building games, you want to focus.
Yeah.
Because you're going to randomly draw these cards later.
Right.
So if you're focused on a particular set of things,
right,
you're more likely to draw those cards.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
When you're looking at something like Dominion, you know all the cards you're looking at. You want to find combos.
Right.
You know, I want more actions, which gives me more buys, which gives me more... victory points, whatever the case is, you're looking for those combos.
Mm.
For something like Ascension, you're looking to see, okay, what is the best card for what my current deck is?
Mm.
What card is going to add to my current deck the best? Mm. For something like Tyrants of the Underdark, you want to build up your buying engine early so that you can buy those bigger cards that will allow you to manipulate the board later.
Right.
For something like Hero Realms or Star Realms, you're really just looking because those card costs aren't that far apart. You're looking to like set yourself up to defend.
They also have the different kinds of cards though. Like
right.
So I haven't played Star Realms, but Hero Realms, you had kind of your typical I'm gonna look at our little coasters here, which we're gonna mention later, I think. But you have your different kinds of cards. You've got
cleric, fighter, thief.
And if you combine them, you get bonuses for combining. And it's almost an engine building kind of thing where you want to focus on one kind of thing.
Right.
So when we were playing, there were, I don't remember what the blue ones were, but I had a bunch of blue ones and green ones, and Chris had a bunch of blue ones and red ones.
Yeah.
And I feel like you were kind of white?
Yeah,
you had some sort of cleric, white and green. Yeah. And we all had our kind of different, but they're interconnected. So once you get one kind, you want to build more of the same kind because they give you bonuses for having those. And that's kind of engine building.
Yeah, right.
I will say something that's relatively common with deck building games, but not necessarily completely across the board.
Yeah.
Most deck building games have a turning point.
Right.
So at the beginning, you're building your buy engine.
Yep.
And at some point, you have to turn to your victory engine.
Right.
And when you make that turn matters. Dominion is like the quintessential game to this. And it's the first game.
Right.
You're buying. You want to have golds and silvers in your deck so you can buy cool cards. But ultimately, you want victory points.
Yep.
But if you put victory points in your deck too early, you draw victory points and they don't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So you want to have that engine set up so that when you start picking up the things that can actually get you to win the game, whether that be victory points or moving things on a board or attacking other people or whatever the case is, that you have your engine for buying still in place.
Right.
So that is kind of important to know when to do that pivot.
Yeah.
And it does take... I want to do an entire episode on games you have to play twice in order to enjoy.
Oh, yeah.
Because...
That's a good topic.
That is a good topic. Because I'm like looking at a lot of games and I'm like, okay, now that I've played it, I want to play it again so I can actually play it
well. It's the Maverick theory.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't know if anyone has ever
seen it. I don't know what that is. I'm just agreeing with you at this point.
You're all staring at me. Yay, I love it when I get to explain things. Maverick, the movie with Mel Gibson. It's based on a show from like the 60s, 70s maybe?
But the game was out in the 90s.
Yeah.
Isn't he like, there's lots of guys
I'm
going to
watch you lose for the first hour.
I'm going to watch you lose for the first hour. And he's playing poker with everyone, and he watches, and he learns all the tells. He says, I'm going to guarantee I'm going to lose for the first hour. And then he just kills them all. Yeah. And he goes on to win the big poker tournament.
Right.
His dad rips him off. Spoiler alert. It's a great movie.
Yeah, you
if you haven't seen it from the 90s, go back and watch it.
It was a good movie. I kind of vaguely remember.
But the concept is like play it for an hour or two and then play it again and you'll be better at it.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So, but that's what a lot of deck building games are.
Don't just play it and look at what you're doing. Watch the other players.
Yep.
See what everyone else is doing. Because I don't know if you've ever noticed this, Josh. I almost always watch what Chris is doing when we're playing.
He's Game Master Chris.
He's studied the rules. He's watched the YouTube videos. I almost never listen when he's explaining the rules.
Just watch how he plays.
Well enough while we're playing, though, where she's like, okay, what can I do again? All right.
That's why I lost Secret Hitler. Yeah. I almost always lose the first time around. If I win, it's a fluke.
Yeah. I do want to mention a couple more deck building games. We're running long on time, but just real quick.
What else is new?
Clank, the deck building game. It's a brand new game out by Renegade Games. It is a dungeon delve deck building game. Lots and lots of fun. It's very similar to Tyrants of the Underdark, where you have a board and you have your own deck you're making. This one's kind of cool, too, because it's risk-reward. The more noise you make, the more clank you make, the more likely it is you're going to get attacked by the dragon. So you have cards that will like do cool things, but they also increase your clank.
Wow.
Or you can be stealth, which decreases your clank. So
we'll
that's kind of fun.
We'll have to play that soon.
Yes. Yeah. I was intending on having you guys play it today, but then we ended up playing social games, and that's fine for me. I love those games. And then the Pathfinder Adventure card game is an amazing deck building game with a campaign mode. You change your starting deck from game to game. Get it on the iPad.
It's so much easier.
It's so much easier to play. And it's the iPad version.
I'm not
going to
recommend
awesome.
It because I wasn't paying attention last time. But
it's good.
But it sounds way better.
Yep.
On the iPad.
A few other things I want to quickly go through. Let's see. Downsides, setup can be a pain. If you play the game a lot, you're either going to have very worn cards or you're going to want to sleeve them. So that adds an additional cost to it. A lot of deck building games kind of reuse the same mechanic over and over. They just change the theme. So you kind of have to look for the ones that appeal to you and don't think that every deck building game's like going to be like, oh, this is the next great thing.
Enjoy the theme.
Yeah.
Revel in the theme.
Star Wars.
Harry Potter, Star Trek, whatever.
Yeah, Star Trek is a really fun game. There's nothing unique or amazing about the mechanics of it, but if you like that theme, maybe that's the deck building game you get.
If you know who Q is, you know the Ferengi, you know what's coming. Those cards are so much more fun to add to your deck because you're adding a fun thing. My dog's name is Riker, in case you didn't notice. I'm a little bit of a fan.
Yeah. So I always feel like we're rushing out at the end of the episode. I could continue to talk about this for hours, but we're running over an hour, and I try to keep us in line.
I did mention it. We talked about it before.
Are we going to talk about coasters?
We're going to talk about our coasters.
All right. I was at GameholeCon, and there was a booth there called RPG Coasters. They ran a Kickstarter. These are laser-etched coasters. And Kitty noticed that I have a fighter, a cleric, a ranger, and a wizard.
A rogue. But you didn't get a paladin.
But I didn't get a paladin.
Only we had enough clout for them to send us a paladin for free.
Yeah.
Because I'm always the paladin, Chris. I'm a goody two-shoes. I love playing the paladin. Yeah. How could you not get a paladin?
I know. All right. So I'm going to get a paladin, and I'm going to give them a free plug. RPG coasters. They're really, really cool.
That's super
they're
cool.
fun coasters. Yep. they have a lot of texture, and they're really pretty.
Yep.
Really and, great coasters.
Yep. So these are our go-to coasters these days. Mm-hmm. I like Harry Potter coasters and cloth coasters.
They don't
and...
clink too much when we're recording.
Nope. Nice little wooden thing. So, yeah. So that was, Kitty is like, we got to get a Paladin coaster and you have to plug this.
Yeah.
All right. Fine. So to summarize, two things. One, send us your questions on emails and
yes,
please
whatnot. I have a few. I will make them up if you don't send them to us. So
we're going
to
do that. He's not going to do
no,
that.
You'll I'm
never
do
know.
That.
No,
yeah. Josh won't even
true.
Know.
I won't know.
You won't ever know.
I think I will. I think I'll read it and be like, Chris, you totally made this one up. No.
I think you have the password to our email too.
Yeah. No, I'm going to, we're going to do a questions episode.
All right.
And if I have to ask the questions, I will do it.
Yeah, don't but well, they'll just, that. They'll just be from you.
Yeah.
They won't be made up.
Well, they'll be
I'll go on my friend's emails and send them to us. You'll never know.
Also, true, again, congratulations to Clay.
Hooray!
Well done, Clay.
You will
fully
get a
deserved.
Box of bunches of stuff.
So much stuff. Over $100 in value.
If yeah, you
over $200 in value, actually. Yeah.
If you did not win, keep listening.
Yeah.
We're going to do this again.
Yep.
Yes.
I
probably
doubt
at least quarterly.
Yeah. I doubt we'll make it to January, February, March. Yeah,
we'll do a St. Patrick's Day giveaway or something.
St. Patrick's Day giveaway, yes.
Those leprechauns, you never yep. know what they're up to.
Well, that one, we're going to do something like recommend your favorite wine for St. Patrick's Day. Sorry, Josh, you've, we were just...
You're outnumbered I've put up
with the drinks normally. Today. I mean, it's fine. I really like it. It brings a lot of color to the podcast. And you know I love color. So
you do.
We're looking forward to having you back again, Spencer, at some point. Colorful so-and-so.
Yeah, actually,
he's busy ice fishing this
weekend.
This is
what I'm looking at. Josh is like, you know I love color, as he's wearing a black hoodie with a gray shirt under it.
But look at his pants. Do you see his pants?
Oh, they are purple pants.
Yeah. He's got, I'd say maroon.
All right.
And blue pants. Socks.
And blue socks.
We may have gone off topic again.
So much. All right.
What else
get
is
us
new?
Out of this podcast before these people have to keep listening.
I love the music.
Certainly will. So thanks for listening. And remember, we love your feedback. So consider leaving us an iTunes review or email us with comments or questions at tabletopgametalk@gmail.com. You can always also reach us directly on Twitter at TabletopGameTLK. And I'm at Josh's Blonde. Chris is at GameMasterChris. And Kitty is at KittenL. And if you like what you hear, help us spread the word by liking us on Facebook, Twitter, and even better, share or retweet our posts. Until next week, when we talk about D's, keep playing games and having fun.
Wait,
all right. When
what?
We talk. Oh, for the love of... So, we weren't really sure what we were going to do for Christmas. Until next week when we're talking about something to be announced.
God, I'm like Trump. I just we're read not. The teleprompter.
That's not like Trump at all. And good night, everyone.
Good night.